doing all right? Those people are doing okay, and you guys are not sure. I'm glad that you're here this morning. I am excited about getting to share with us this morning some stuff that God has laid on my heart. Even really before I get into that, I'm going to ask Dale, if he would, to come on up on stage. Come on up here, buddy. I want to reintroduce you to a good friend of mine. This is Dale Braswell, and Dale thought he would just kind of slip in here today, but I knew he was coming. There's your mic.
Thank you.
It's all yours. No, I'm just kidding. Dale has been the youth pastor at Inglewood Baptist. He actually replaced me a long time ago, over 5 years ago. No, I can easily be replaced. Dale has done an awesome job there. But in the midst of everything, God called Dale to start a church. And I've been there, and I know what that's like. And I want to take a second for us just to pray for you this morning. I want you to just take a second, just tell us just a hair of your story of as of late, where you guys are at right at this moment.
Yeah, we are about a month away from starting a church in Seattle, Washington. Seattle has about 5 million people. 4% are evangelical Christians, so about 96% of the population there has no relationship with Christ. There's only about 180 Baptist churches up there for 5 million people. And so it's one of the most unchurched, influential cities in the nation. And that, about 15 months ago, God began to put on my wife and I's heart, Tina, to start a church. And then we discovered the need in Seattle and decided to go there and to start a church. So it's one of the most difficult areas to plant in. We're in the process of buying a house up there, trying to sell our home here. God has really put together a team of about 3 other families that are willing to go with us, and so
are moving from here.
Yeah, they are
to
moving
Seattle.
From Texas and from Tennessee up to Seattle. So actually, one of those families is about 99% sure. They haven't said official yes yet, but they're close.
Sure. You'll talk them into it.
Yeah, exactly.
I believe in you. You're not from Seattle. And you,
Mansfield, Texas.
How many times have you been to Seattle?
4 times.
4 times. And God just laid this on his heart, and he's going. And you know, I gotta say, and we've had Dale. Oh, when we were over at the Christian school, we had Dale there come and share what was going on in his life, prayed for you then. But this is a huge deal. You're stepping out. You're stepping out further than I had to step out to do what God had called me. I mean, I was coming back to where I knew I could pull strings to, you know, make things happen because this is, you know, kind of home to me. But you're going somewhere you don't know anybody. And God has led you there and leading some other people to go with you. And I just want to take for just a second. Absolutely. Go for that.
And I want to take a second just to thank you and your church, all of 24 Church. You guys have been a huge support in helping us design our church brochure and some video intros and all those kind of things. And just y'all's prayer support is what makes it possible. Obviously, it is a little bit more difficult up there because of the lack of kind of a Christian base to draw from. But we are very thankful for your support and your family support and all of you guys as a whole just for your encouragement and prayers for us. So thank you all.
Awesome. Thank you. Let me pray for you. Let's pray for Dale and Tina. God, we lift up Dale and Tina and their kids to you today. God, we sincerely ask, Lord, that you would just have your hand on Dale and Tina and their children and these families, Lord, that are moving to start a new work for you and for your name and for your glory. God, I just pray, Lord, that every bit, every ounce of everything that they do, God would just drip, Lord, just wanting to make you famous. God, that's what this is about. And so, God, I just pray that for them. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just go ahead, and I know that you're already working there, and God, that you would continue to cultivate, God, what you're going to do there and how you're going to use them. Lord, just work in their hearts. Lord, encourage them when they need to be encouraged, as this will be one of the hardest things, probably will be the hardest thing that they have ever done. But God, you've called them to it. It is your plan. It is your will. And God, you're going to use them to do incredible things for your kingdom. God, we just lift them up to you today, and God, just ask to have your hand on them. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for all you've done for us. In your name I pray. Amen. Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate it.
Take that back here to the back. I want to share with you this morning, you know, we've been in this series called Story. And, you know, we just heard just a piece of a story right there. That was Dale's story, a little bit of just where they're at right now. And, you know, the biggest part, in fact, I've just got to tell you, I think the most exciting part of any story to me, and I've talked a little bit about this in the last few weeks, but my favorite part of any story is the ambition of the story. It's the drive that makes somebody just go all out to go after something, whatever that is. You know, it's life in general is just a big process, you know, and we're used to this. We're used to kind of, you know, we grow in things and different things. And there's something in Scripture that is definitely pointing us in that same direction, that we are constantly in this process, that we are constantly pursuing God and pursuing this ambition of knowing Him better. I want to share with you a passage of Scripture, and we're just going to jump right into this in Romans chapter 6 this morning. And in Romans chapter 6, we see this passage start in verse 11. It says, "In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness." Verse 14, check this out. "For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace." All right, let's just leave that last bit up there on the screen for a little bit. You know, the hardest part of being a Christian is constantly battling sin. Now, sin is, you know, one of these words that people have made like a bad word for some reason. They don't want to talk about sin. They don't like to think about sin. You know, and it's, you know, it's dirty to us because it represents to us the things in our life that do not please God. It represents the things where we fail, so to speak. And, you know, the important thing for us to understand is that when we come to Christ, you know, we've had this underlying theme of this entire series of this whole redemption deal. We are redeemed. That when we have come to Christ, when we have received Christ as our Savior, that we have been saved, that we have been rescued, that we have been bought back. We've been redeemed. And just knowing that God loved us that much to be able to do that for us, to redeem us, He would not want us to be slaves to sin. You see, in our former life, before we knew Christ as our Savior, we were slaves to sin. In fact, you know, some of my favorite moments in student ministry when I worked with teenagers was times when we would have like kids coming to church and they'd completely not be dressed like everybody else at church. I love those kids. And they're like coming in and they're, you know, doing whatever. They're like kicking holes in the walls and just doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And it wasn't that we were just like, you know, letting, you know, anarchy break out in the student ministry or anything. But, you know, there's just moments where stuff happens and you're just like, you know, kids using, you know, cuss words and whatever. And you got like somebody at the church in the corner, them teenagers in there and they're cussing. And they come to me and go, "Mr. Youth Pastor, you know, why are these kids in here cussing? This is church." And I'd look at them and I'd say, "They don't know Jesus. Why wouldn't they cuss? If I didn't know Jesus, I would cuss too. In fact, I still do sometimes, and I know Jesus, you know? Not, you know, sin's not completely out of the picture here. But, you know, it's one of those things, you know, we've got in our head that, you know, that just like I mentioned last week, that when we come to Christ that we're just perfect and there's never sin again. Well, that's not true, and we all know that. We're in this process, and the process has a name. It's called sanctification. Us pursuing being sanctified is the process of us after we have come to Christ. It is the process of us realizing day by day that we are to grow closer and closer to God. It is the pursuit. It is the ambition for us to be driven to do more and more for the kingdom of God. It is the ambition for us to grow closer to God, to have a closer relationship with God. I mean, it's amazing. The best part, other than, well, it's not the best part, it's one of the great parts of receiving Christ as your Savior, is the fact that we are no longer slaves to sin. And that passage of scripture right there, it goes back right there in verse 11, this is the very first verse that we read. It says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm just going to rain on somebody's parade here, I'm sure, with this one, but I just want to go ahead and kind of tell you that this means that we can't use the excuse that that's just the way that I am, I'm just going to fall in sin. For example, we can't just say, well, I've just had a bad day, so I'm going to be grumpy. We can't just say, well, you know, I've just been bitter all my life, so I'm going to continue to be bitter. I'm just an angry person. I'm just going to continue to be angry. You know, I've always gossiped, and I just can't see myself getting over that, so I'm just going to keep gossiping. You see, we can't say that sin has a hold over us if we know Jesus Christ is our Savior. If we're saying that, then we are saying that sin has dominion over us, and that's not true. Jesus bought us at the price of dying on the cross. For us to go out and say, well, you know, I'm just unhappy, you know, whatever, you know, we make excuse for sin, and we paste it on the wall, and we just say, that's just it, that's just the way it is, it's just gonna be that way in my life, I'm never gonna get over that sin. I am here to tell you today that you can overcome your sin if you know Jesus Christ. Let's pass the scripture just to keep going. Verse 12, it says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of their body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. I don't know about you, but I mean, it's amazing to know that I'm under grace. It's amazing to know that I am no longer a slave to sin. It's amazing to know that I can overcome it. And I don't have to be a fortune teller to know that everyone in this room is dealing with some kind of sin. You're human. I'm human. We are dealing with sin. You see, when we receive Christ, we can overcome sin, but it doesn't mean that it's completely out of the picture. We still have to deal with it. We still have to overcome it. The truth is only after knowing Christ can you overcome it. I want to read on in another passage of scripture in the book of Philippians. In the book of Philippians, chapter 3, it says in verse 12, not that I have already obtained this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. You seeing that? Are you seeing that? This is the ambition. This is the drive. This is the pressing on. Not that I have already obtained this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that of which Christ Jesus took hold of me. You see, this is a mistake so many people make. So many people assume that when you become a Christian, that you've just arrived. And that's just it. That's just, you know, we're just good. We're just good being a Christian. Go to church some, do some good stuff, talk to some good people, eat some good food. That's what we do, right? We're church. And so, you know, those are all good things, and especially the part about knowing Christ. I mean, that's very important. But the thing that you've got to understand is that knowing Christ is the beginning of the process. At that moment, When we receive Christ as our Savior, we have turned the key on something that is about to start that we had no idea probably was going to happen. Many of you may have come to Christ and gone, well, I just thought I was just coming to Christ, and I just, you know, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do or whatever. That's good. But I'm here to share with you today that the process after that is the greatest part of this thing. It is so incredible. And it's so wonderful when we actually pursue God, when we pursue holiness. Most amazing thing. Well, right here. I mean, Paul, again, he's just putting it out there. He's saying, not that I'm perfect. Check that out. Not that I have already obtained this or have already been made perfect. He's basically saying, I have not obtained righteousness. I have not obtained, you know, holiness. I'm not perfect. I'm not there yet. But I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I actually misspoke a little bit because Christ makes us righteous in the eyes of God. But Paul understood, most importantly, that we could not stop the process. Let me ask you a question. What would Rocky be like without another fight coming? That'd be just old, boring Rocky, right? I mean, you got even the latest Rocky Balboa movie, and even there, he's pretty much he's just a restaurant owner. He's old, boring Rocky. He's, you know, telling stories about fighting Apollo Creed and all this kind of stuff. You know, there is an ambition in us, built in us, to go after something. The ambition sometimes is taken away from the true interpretation. It's not bad to go after things in this world necessarily, as long as they don't become your God. But, you know, that ambition is there for us to want to pursue God, for us to understand that the more we become more like Christ, the more that we pursue God and come closer to holiness, that's where it's at. That's the sweet spot. That's when we really start experiencing life. And that's where, I just tell you, I burden personally for people that I see come to church and just hang out and then just go home. I burden for them because I wonder, God, what are you doing in their life? God, what's really going on with them? Are they playing a game with you or are they pursuing you? Truthfully, when I see people that are really pursuing God, it usually looks something like, you know, wanting to serve him because that's scriptural ground. And just wanting to worship him with their heart. What's your worship look like? What's our worship look like? Not just here, but just during the week. But even just in here, what's your worship like? I mean, are you connecting with God even when the band is playing? Because if you didn't know, they're not here to perform. They're here to lead us into trying to help us engage with God. It's the whole purpose of it. You see, every bit of our life, every bit of the church, every bit of who we are ought to be at least about this one thing, and that is making God famous. And that's hard because we get in the way. This passage goes on in verse 13. It says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul understood that this is a process. And there's not just some day where we just arrive and we got it. We shot video recently with several people, and one of those people really stood out in saying that. He didn't even realize he was saying it, but he was saying it. And he was proclaiming in the get-go this thing, don't have it together. And some other things that just resonated with me about these scriptures. And I want to share that video with you. I want to introduce you to Cliff Lane. Let's see Cliff's story.
All right, I'm Cliff. Work at it's called Aegis Sciences. It's a forensics lab on Murfreesboro Road. I'm just doing that while I'm going to school. I'm going to school to do X-ray. So hopefully in a year I'll be doing something worth doing. I've been going to church all my life. I've been saved since I was 6 years old. Stayed in church 3 times a week. My parents kept me in church, and I did good till our youth group, the youth group I was attending, which was called BARF, Become a Real Follower. I thought that was pretty interesting, but the youth group fell apart, and I got my license, got away from church, went absolutely crazy for the longest time. Car wrecks I don't remember, hung out with the wrong people. No good influence on my life. I've ruined my name, embarrassed my parents. It's not really good to have your kid's name in the paper every other week because you're messing up, in trouble. Now I'm lucky to be sitting here. Some of the stuff I've pulled, don't remember. And I've been through a painful divorce. I've just hurt a lot of people. It's cost me more money than I even know. My dad always told me that there's two dogs inside of you fighting for control, and whichever one you feed the most, that's who's gonna win, and I definitely fed the wrong one. For the longest time, it didn't bother me that I was living like an idiot, and all of a sudden, the things I was doing, I just beat myself up. I mean, I felt guilty, like, even though I've been an idiot for a long time, I still, my heart's right. I mean, I knew what I was doing was not right, and then God just started working on me. That's when I found 24 Church and tried to get away from all the craziness and straighten out and grow up. Just since I've gotten back into church and got back in God's Word, I mean, I'm nowhere near where I need to be. I'll never claim to be. I mean, I'm doing better than I was, but I'm still an idiot. I'm nowhere near where I need to be, but I mean, at least now I've found a church family. I look forward, this is the first time in my life I've looked forward to coming to church. Just being around other Christian people is the best thing for me. My parents have been the only Christian influence I've had in my life. And this has definitely been a good thing for me coming here. 2 months after I started attending 24, I kind of got another slap in the face. I found out that I had cancer, and just a total shock. And of course, the people that I was hanging around told me, hey, man, you just got bad luck. If that was going on with me, I would just drink all the time, stay messed up. You got nothing going for you. And of course, I listened to them for a little bit. And then another reason I'm glad my parents have always been there, they told me, hey, God's giving you a second chance. This is your wake-up call. You need to step up and just get through this and not continue to live like an idiot. And it all sunk in, and I just said, that's enough. I'm tired of hurting myself, hurting everybody I love. Even though my life is nowhere near what I want, I'm definitely a whole lot happier, doing better, trying to do better. I mean, I thank God that I've got my son, Brennan. He's 5 years old. I don't know where I would be if I didn't have him keeping me straight. He loves going to school. He loves drawing. I can't believe how good this kid can draw. Loves making fun of me. My hair fell out going through chemo, and my son just thought that was the funniest thing. Goes around telling everybody my daddy's bald, draws pictures of me. I mean, it don't bother me. But I'll still go around wearing a hat because I'm not used to being bald. But it'll come back. I'm not worried about it. I mean, won't ever take my health for granted ever again. Since October of last year, I've been in remission. And I just went this past Tuesday for another CAT scan, and everything is still gone. God's never left my side, even though I was living in sin and did not talk to him, did not tried to come towards him. He's never left my side. I just can't count how many times I can sit here and think so many times I should have been gone. I mean, not only with going through cancer, but just all, it's everything else. I'm just, he's keeping me around here for something. I mean, I'm hoping to live right, be close to God, and get my reputation back, get, I mean, just do right. I mean, God's given me a second chance. I wouldn't trade any of this. Going through cancer, I mean, I wouldn't have it any other way. I like who I am a whole lot better today than 2 years ago. But I really need to be 50 times the man I am now. I mean, I'll probably be fighting the rest of my life to be as close as I want to be. And just thank God every day that he did not give up on me.
It's a good day. It's any day that you're alive.
Fighting every day for the rest of his life. And that's it. That's the process. That is sanctification. I know that's a big word, and it's been thrown a lot around a lot in church, and you may have been scared of it in the past, but that's the bottom line of it. It's the process of us coming closer to God. Cliff, thank you for shooting that video. I know your parents and family are here today, and I asked Cliff when we were shooting that. I said, Cliff, just out of curiosity, when all that kind of went down in your life, not talking about the cancer, but back before that, a lot of the trouble and stuff he'd gotten into, I said, who were the people that stood around you? How many of your friends were left when all that happened? And he just looked at me and he said, my family. I said, that was it. So that was it. And I know that you guys mean a lot to him. And it means a lot for you to share that with us today. The story, the goal, the ambition, for us to keep going on, for us to keep pursuing God. You know, this passage of scripture in the book of Hebrews says it very simple. In chapter 12, verse 14, it says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. To be holy, to pursue holiness. This morning, I'm here as the messenger to just encourage you to just not give up on the sin that's in your life, to know that you can overcome it, to know that being a follower of Christ, to know that knowing that you are called to be holy is a pursuit, it's a process, and it's going to take time. And for some of you, you may see people around you that it just seems like they're on like the fast track to getting there. And it seems like they're doing so much better than you or whatever. And I'm just here to tell you today that it just takes time. Don't judge your progress against someone else's. The main thing you've got to do, the main thing that we've got to do is pursue God. And let me just say, that's what life is about. I talked with this woman on the plane on a trip that I was on this weekend. And she was a doctorate in leadership. She travels the country teaching leadership and coaching leadership to some of the biggest executives around our country and around the world. She goes international. She was on her way to a medical group that their offices were located right in the middle of Times Square. We begin to talk about Christ in the church, and she is kind of what I call de-churched, which means she's not been to church in a long time. She's got a lot of stuff going on in her life, but we got into this conversation about how do you know that you're doing the right thing? And what's going to separate the church of the future from churches of yesteryear that have turned people away? And I just told her just simply, I said, people have got to understand that this is really about a pursuit of God, that this is about us trying our best, trying our hardest to live out the life of Jesus Christ, to try our best to be holy. Our conversation was over, and she paid me probably one of the greatest compliments I've ever heard. She she said, you know, I don't even know that I can call myself a Christian right now because of just where I'm at with everything. She said, but I believe that Christ is my Savior. And she said, I have lost faith in the church, but from what you've told me today about what's going on in your church and about this pursuit of holiness, she said, it gives me hope. And by the way, if you're here today and you've never received Christ as your Savior, your life has never been changed that way, that can happen for you. And I highly encourage that you just hang out after the service and catch me or one of the other staff guys or even just a family member that knows Christ as their Savior and just ask about it. Let's just talk, pray together. It's the greatest thing that you can ever do, and I'm just going to let Cliff share how he feels about the possibility of you coming to Christ.
The life I was living is definitely not worth it. I mean, it's scary to think about where I would have ended up if I did not have somebody telling me about the Lord, if I didn't get back in church. I mean, just the thought of where I would be if I didn't have God in my life. I mean, if God is working on your heart and you think, and I mean, you're thinking that this might be something that you want to do, I mean, just don't just sit there and think about it. You never know if you're going to have tomorrow. I mean, just a whole lot better off with somebody in your corner, always. And no matter how big an idiot you are, God will not turn his back on you like people in this world will. And it's just an awesome, awesome feeling. I would definitely go for it. And God will change your life.